Welcome. Come in. You're just in time for the Paranormal View with your hosts, Henry Foister, Kat Cloco, Barbara Duncan, Jeffrey Gould. And welcome, everybody, to the Paranormal View right here on the ParaX Radio Network. What?
It sounds like, now it's like, instead of Kat's name being dropped in, it sounds like you're like, oh, and Jeffrey Gould. And I was trying, when the first time I heard that, I was like, what does that remind me of? And this time I'm like, oh, it sounds like Logan's Run. It sounds like kind of that weird, etheric kind of sound effect that Logan's Run had.
So myself and Sherry in the chat room think the music's really cool. I love you, Henry, but we have to have someone else do the voiceover.
I wonder what professional actors available that could do that.
That's why I wasn't going to play it.
We
made it just to see what you guys thought of.
Exactly.
So now you know. Actually, a lot of people like the music. It gives you that good, like, 1950s, 1960s bad horror movie feel.
Yeah.
Which I like. I think it's fun. Because those are so fun.
Oh, and Nyla Patsy says, your voice was too low.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah. Like I said,
I don't mean, like, you know, deep and serious. It was a little soft.
It was his impression of an EVP. Says Trent in the chat room. Everyone likes it. You just need to speak louder.
Just need to say, I'll have coffee.
I'll have coffee.
Well, I've got mine. So.
And some fruit cake.
If you send me the raw audio, I can.
Yeah. No, we just need something. we need Henry to say, howdy, I'm fixing to scare you.
That is perfect. Howdy, I'm fixing to scare you.
I hear you guys. Anyway, everybody had a good week.
Yes.
Lots of that going on. Tonight we got a great show, and I guess we will let, if you guys don't have anything else, we will. Well, you guys just messed everything up. First of all, we have with us Kat Cloco.
Hi, everyone.
If you didn't know. And we also have Barbara Duncan.
I'm fixing to scare you, too.
Oh, we have Jeffrey Gould.
Hello, hello.
And everybody else. And we're going to let Jeffrey introduce our guest for tonight.
Absolutely. Well, our guest tonight is June Lundgren. She's a psychic medium. She's an animal communicator, healer, nurse, and international author with over 40 years of experience in the paranormal field. Coming from a long line of women with special gifts as a child, June communicated with spirits, animals, and angels while living with her grandparents, of which her grandmother was a psychic medium who helped tutor June in the use of her gifts. June has authored 3 books, actually I've been told 4 with coming along, Medium's Guide to the Paranormal, Paranormal Encounters, and Paranormal Encounters Book 2, and her new book, Dark Side of the Paranormal. And she's a member of the NW Paranormal Investigative Team at nyparanormal.net. So welcome, June Lundgren.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah. You're not related to Dolph Lundgren, I guess.
Actually, yes.
Oh, you are? Really? Seriously?
It's my husband's cousin, yeah.
Ooh, really? What? He must break you.
Well, since they also messed me up and I forgot, I want to go ahead and welcome everybody to the Paranormal View and those in the chat room and those listening from around the world. If you are not here with us in the chat room, feel free to come over, para-x.com, and click on the live chat button. You'll be in with all these wonderful people. You'll have a great time interacting with them and with us by being able to ask our guest questions. questions. So with that, we want to welcome June to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And
whoa, what?
Sound like a parrot hollering.
I guess so.
It's got to be over on Cat's side, I believe. But anyway, we're going to talk about one of your books tonight called Paranormal Encounters.
Guys, I was muted.
What?
Oh, what?
Oh, that must be on June's side then.
Oh.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Her husband must be watching something.
Yeah, something funny.
I mean, the beginning of the show? Oh, wait.
That too, probably.
That too, huh? Anyway, in this book, are all these encounters that you had or stories that other people has had?
No, these are all my own paranormal encounters over the last 40 years. There are some from different time frames. Depending, you know, they're all mixed up in the books. There's actually going to be a series of three of the books. And I'm actually working on the third, as well as The Dark Side of the Paranormal right now.
Hmm. Well, now, the first one that you were talking about, I still don't believe it. Now,
what?
Yeah,
that's... you never said that of a guest.
Well, that's what she was saying. So why don't you tell us about this encounter?
Oh, my husband. Yes. It's about, I still don't believe it is based on the encounter. I waited 2 years to tell my husband when I married him that I was a psychic medium. And he's what he calls agnostic. He doesn't believe in a higher power, doesn't believe in ghosts or anything else. And he's one of those people that says, if I can't touch it, feel it, or see it, it doesn't exist. And so I said, you better be careful about how you say that. And, you know, because they'll show you. And that's what happened one night. I was in the bedroom folding clothes, and my grandmother came to visit, and she wandered down the hallway and went to the opening in the living room and stared at my husband, turned around, and disappeared back down the hall. And the next morning, he said, what did you want last night? I'm like, what do you mean, what did I want? He said, well, you came to the living room, opening the living room, and turned around and disappeared down the hall. I said, that wasn't me. And he's like, yes, it was. You were wearing your glasses. And I'm like, look at my eyes. I'm wearing my contacts. I said, I can't wear both of the things at the same time. And he's like, oh, that was you. And I heard my grandmother say, you know, it was me. I'm just coming to check on everybody, make sure everybody's okay. I said, that was my grandma. Do you want me to let you know that? He's like shaking his head like he doesn't believe it, you know. And I went and grabbed a picture of my grandmother, and I said, is this what the person looked like? The little cat's eye glasses. He's like, yeah, but that wasn't her. That was you. I'm like, whatever. And then it happened again where he saw my grandmother going down the stairs. He thought it was me. We look a lot alike, except for she's shorter than me. And so it happened again. And then a little time later, we were in the living room talking, watching a movie. And the kitchen is behind the couch. There's a big opening between the kitchen and the living room. And I heard him say, Ray. And I told him, I said, Ray's downstairs. That's my son. And he said it again, Ray. And I said, Ray's downstairs. And he's like, then I'm not going to tell you what I saw. I'm like, oh, I said, what did you see? He said, I saw a white face with long hair staring at me, and then it just disappeared. I'm like, oh, that's my sister. Not to work. I said, he says, tell him to stop it. Tell him not to do it anymore. I don't want to see it. I said, that's your problem. I said, you said if you can't touch it, feel it, or see it, it doesn't exist. So they're just showing you they do exist. And it's been happening ever since.
Wow. Well, does he believe, or does he still don't believe it?
He believes that they're there, but he won't go out looking for them. Or as in the case when we went to the coast and he saw a shadow person. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd never encountered one before. I was upstairs. We were in a condominium. I was upstairs. And I had a funny feeling, and then next thing I know, my husband's bellowing at me and saying, get down here, there's something here. What he saw was a little girl. What I saw was the shadow person. And then the minute I told him, I said, that's not a little girl. And it morphed into the shadow person, and then it just took off, ran through the French doors. And it freaked the heck out of him, and he's like, if that's what you're seeing, he says, I don't want to see it. I said, welcome to my world.
Well, now, out in Oregon, is there a lot of places around where you live that is haunted, and maybe places where groups are allowed to go in to investigate?
Sure. Have you heard of the Shanghai tunnels?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, that's downtown Portland, an old town, and my paranormal group is the one that represents the Shanghai tunnels. I had never been there before. I meant to go a few years back, but I just never got there. So we were going to do an investigation there, and my, you know, the leader of the group, Aaron, says, well, you know, let's do a walkthrough first, see how it is, see what you pick up. And I'm like, okay. And before I even got to the entrance to the place, I could feel the demonic. And so I just kind of put it out of my head, went through, walked through the whole place and everything, knew where it was. And we got through with that. We went up to the museum, and I told the curator, I told him, I said, how long have you had the demon there? And he's like, he pulled me aside and said, nobody knows about that. I'm like, well, I do. I said, he says, I've been getting scratched and clawed on my legs for the last 6 months. I said, well, who was the one that went into the back of the tunnel and did a seance and used a Ouija board? He's like, nobody knows about that. He said, that was unauthorized by me, and they opened a dark portal. And I said, well, you know, we're going to come back next week to do the investigation. As part of that, I will remove the demon. And so we went back the next week, and there were actually a demon and a couple of lesser minions with it. So, but I took it out, and then the minions fled. So, you know, I just have that instinct for it. Plus, when God gave me the ability to heal, he told me that that was part of my job, that I needed to remove the demons. And so I do it, not that I like it, but I do it, and I'm good at it.
Well, good.
Of course, nowadays when I hear minions, I think of little yellow jelly-shaped little...
Yeah, yeah, I wish it was those. That would be cool.
That'd be
I love
cute.
Those little guys. They're so cute.
So for our listeners who may not be familiar with the Shanghai tunnels, can you give us a very brief synopsis of what they are and who may haunt it besides the now former demon?
The Shanghai tunnels is right on the riverfront.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bar there, and there still is a bar there, but mm-hmm. bar that was there years ago, people would get Shanghai'd from and put sold for like $50. And they would drop through the floor, and down below was an opium den and some jail cells where they kept these guys down there. They would take their boots, mm-hmm. and they would break glass all along the floors there. And if they did manage to get out, they could just follow the blood trail to find them.
Ah,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. So were there any ghosts of guys that were shanghaied there, or?
Was a negative earthbound who was okay. the guy, kind of like the pimp.
Okay.
I called him the growler. I removed okay. him. And there's Nina. She was an Indian woman that was sold into this situation to be a prostitute. And she turned evidence on them, and they killed her. So she stays okay. down there to protect people. You know, there's a lot of human trafficking, unfortunately, mm-hmm. in the downtown Portland area. And she is there to help protect the girls that, you know, fall prey to this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow. you know, there's a bunch of other ones that come. I noticed when we went down there for the investigation, you know, the EMF meters and everything were going crazy. But when I went back, and because they know what I'm coming to do before, you know, anything. So they knew that I was coming to remove the demon, and it was conspicuously absent of souls.
Mm.
They were like not going there, didn't want to deal with it. But the minute it was removed, the portal was sealed, then they all came back.
Okay.
And we caught a bunch of them on film and stills.
Wow. So what do the ghosts or the spirits do when there is a demon present with them? Do human-bound one or earthbound ones just kind of run away? Does the demon try to suck them in?
It will usually try to capture them and keep them from ascending fully.
Okay.
And with them, there were some that came and go on visitation because there were three portals in the place.
Wow.
So, you know, there were some, there was one that was a big one. It mm-hmm. was in towards the back of it, and it was letting in negatives as well as, you know, good spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So I never go anywhere without Michael, the archangel. So we put a filter on that particular one so that none of the negatives could come through. Only the positives can come and go in visitation.
Okay. Kind of like what you did with the Queen Mary.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. We can talk about that one later. Because I know Ooh. Jeff's been to the Queen Mary.
Yeah.
Got a great EVP there.
Huge place. Huge
yeah.
place.
Yeah. Wow.
Is there something specific about underground that seems to attract more elemental?
Cece, you're kind of low.
Okay. Might want to come into the house or something.
In the house? Jeez.
She sounds far away.
She does, Cece.
I'm on the ceiling, for heaven's sake.
Oh, you're supposed to be like hidden in the ceiling's ductwork because we can't hear you very well.
She's down in the Shanghai tunnels.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. Bad
reception.
She's
getting farther away.
Is there something about underground? Can anybody hear me at all?
You're very low. Turn your mic up.
You're
very
really
soft,
faint.
Actually. Yeah.
How about no?
Oh.
About now?
So Cece, are you referring to like limestone in the tunnels that might be attracting them? Or?
Well, that and just the fact that there's underground.
I did not encounter an elemental there, although when I went to Battleground, Washington, to remove a demon, it was one of those demons that are entrenched in the land itself. And a lot of people, you know, people don't understand why they're even there. It's been there before recorded time. But when I did remove it, before I removed it, I made it tell me why it was there. But there was all, once I got rid of it, the elemental was outside, was living under the, actually under the house. And I told it needed to go back into the forest where it belonged, and it couldn't live under the house. But I've only ran into a handful of them, and usually I've ran into mostly just mischievous ones, nothing bad or anything.
I'm wondering if there is, can anybody still hear me now?
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah, you came back to the surface. We can hear you.
Places like Alcatraz, where there's a lot of activity, too. Some of it, I am told, can also be inhuman.
which yes. is also on that volcanic sort of rock. They've dug mm-hmm. tunnels there too.
Yeah.
And a lot of the isolation cells were below the ground level too. And I'm wondering if that ground makeup also has something to do with the attraction.
It does for the elementals, yeah.
Yeah.
That's their, you know, that's it's in the earth. This little guy looked like what I would call a gnome. He wasn't, you know, he got curious, and then he decided he liked living there. And so he stayed for years, and he didn't run afoul of the demon. It kind of ruled the house that was there, and it really didn't go outside much, because I guess there was too much really good, you know, really good negative stuff inside. The guy's wife had been dying of cancer, so, you know, there was a lot of pain and a lot of suffering there, so.
Makes sense.
Did you say that Alcatraz was, like, volcanic? Previously volcanic or something?
Heck yeah.
I did not know that.
Really?
Well, Farallon Islands are, yeah. Farallon Islands are volcanic. There's a little volcano going up near Oregon, I believe.
Yeah.
That'll warm it up.
Well, it has a lot to do with the coastal wildlife issues, I think, there too, but earthquakes. Yeah, we live in a pretty, which has always interested me from the standpoint of how much of that fire elemental energy is actually being aroused and put into play with all of this earthquake, seismic, volcanic activity, and whether or not that would cause a lot more energy to be displaced and a lot more attraction to elementals.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would really attract them, along with, you know, the power that they contain. And they're curious. You know, a lot of the elementals are just curious about, you know, the top side and about people, humans. And so they're, you know, they're more curious than anything.
Now, one of my first metaphysical teachers spoke about an entity called a dark elf. And not dark as in evil, but the fact they just like dark places. So a lot of times people are in cellars and they just feel they're being watched. Most likely it's a dark elf. One of the houses I lived with had a dark elf, and my brother encountered a number of times down the cellar while he was video editing. And he just thought it was kind of like, you know, like a little garden gnome running past. Yeah. And you just see it out of the corner of the eye, the movement.
Yeah, that's what this one was up in Battleground. It was one of those little gnome-like guys that's just, you know, curious and running around pulling tricks and stuff.
Trying to find Travelocity and all that.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, jeez.
I want to take and remind everybody that if you're not in the chat room, but you're somewhere else out in the world, you have questions, you are able to send us questions. And you can do that by sending a question to theparanormalview@gmail.com and just address it as question. And we will get those right over to our guest. And we also have a couple other ways, too. Is that correct, Kat?
Yes. You can tweet us over at ParaView Radio, and I am currently manning the Twitter station. And the Gmail station. If you send any questions over to us, it's probably me you're talking to.
Okay.
Just for all our listeners.
Just in case, right?
Just in case.
Yeah. This next one that add on there, is there a difference doing an investigation, say, in a house compared to, like, a graveyard?
Yeah, I have a tendency to stay away from graveyards because they know I'm coming before I know I'm coming. I was in a situation where my sister-in-law, we have ghost tours in Oregon City because it's a historic city and we're a pretty small town. And my sister-in-law says, I really want to go to the walking ghost tours. And I'm like, Okay, as long as there's no graveyard with it, I'm good. So the night dawns and we go down to our appointed section where we're supposed to be waiting on the corner, and we're waiting and waiting and nobody comes around, and we're just like, so we go into the building that's there and we say, you know, well, where is the tour? And they said, oh, well, there's going to be a small bus that rolls up and just get on there and you'll go on the tour. And I thought, oh, okay, so they're going to like bus us to where the walk begins. And I didn't think anything of it. And we get on the bus and, you know, it's like crammed in like sardines. And where do we end up? The old Mountain View Pioneer Cemetery. My sister-in-law looks at me and just laughs. I'm like, what are you laughing at? And so we get there, and they're saying, oh, everybody get off. We're going to, you know, do a little tour, because there are graves back to the 1600s. And I'm like, really? So my sister-in-law is like, is there anybody here? Can you see anybody? I'm like, unfortunately, yes. So there's about 30 of them. And I'm like, she's like, good. She says, I always wanted to do this with you. I'm like, So I said, well, let's wander over here, not be like, you know, not be obvious. Because I do all my communication telepathically. And so I get them over there, and I'm like, you know, I said, okay, all of you guys, just, you know, gather over here. And, you know, I said, how many of you want to give messages to people? And, you know, like 3/4 of them raise their hands. And I'm like, okay, put your hand down. I'm telling you right now, I don't do messages. It's not happening unless you can give me their name, their phone number, and their address. So,
and money.
Yeah, yeah. I said, so how many of you want to cross over? And all but one guy raised their hand. And I'm like, okay. My sister-in-law is like, what's going on? What's happening? And she's getting, she says, it's cold. I said, well, you wanted to experience this. I said, they're hanging out on either side of you. And she's like, oh, great. So I'm like, okay, so I crossed over the ones that wanted to cross over, and there was one guy who was still stuck in his death state. He had a briefcase in hand, and there's blood, you know, pouring out of his head and everything. And I said, well, why don't you want to cross over? I said, you need to get out of your death state first. And he says, I can't. I said, why not? And he said, because I was on my way to see my mistress.
Oh.
And I'm married, and I'm a Catholic, and I, you know, I'm going to be judged. I'm going to be found wanting. I'm, you know, I can't do it. I can't cross. I said, well, at least get out of your death state, will you? I said, move on. You're not still stuck there. So I said, well, if you don't worry about it. I said, when you're ready, you can contact me. Unfortunately, you know, a couple of years after that, I went to work in a medical office that borders the graveyard.
I remember us.
Yeah, oh, I know. But I draw the line. I tell them, you know what? This is off limits when I'm at work. And a few months ago, I was coming from the top of the hill. It was a foggy day, and it was a Saturday. And I hear this little voice that says, come to the graveyard. And I'm like, no, I'm not going there. I have an appointment. And he's like, come to the graveyard. I need to talk to you. You need to come to the graveyard. I'm like, oh. So I'm like, okay, fine. So it's like foggy, like something out of Twilight Zone. And I see these 4-point buck, you know, wandering through the graveyard, and does. And it was really cool. I start snapping pictures of them. And he's like, no, no, take my picture. I'm over here. So I'm like, okay. So I whip around, click the camera, you know, my cell phone camera. And then he proceeds to suck the juice out of it. I'm like, really? Really? And he starts laughing. And I'm like, well, what do you want? He says, well, my name is Edward, and I'm almost 10. And I just want to talk to you. I want to visit. Well, why are you hanging out here? Why don't you cross? No, I'm not ready yet. I said, what about your mom and dad? Don't you want to see your mom and dad? He says, I'm having too much fun here. I'm like, okay, fine. So we had that little conversation, and then I went home and looked on my camera, and there's Edward standing there.
Aww.
Wow. I have it on my Facebook site for A Medium's Guide to the Paranormal. I have a Facebook one for that, and I have him there. You can see him in the picture.
Oh. Personally, so to me, a little...
So I tried to stay away from graveyards.
To me, little girl ghosts inviting people to graveyards is sort of like a windowless van with free candy sign.
Oh, no.
All right. I think what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And we will be, let's see, Kat will be taking us out. And,
yep.
Back.
He's forgetting our names, guys.
I'm late. I've had a rough day today.
Oh.
Yeah. And so you guys got anything before we go out?
Well, I wanted to remind people about Barbara Silrey that we had on the show last weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
And we got cut off before we could give all the information out for where you could purchase her book and visit her website. So, do you want me to give it out?
Yes, do all that before we go to break.
Okay, so I'll do this and then take us out to break, and then everyone can listen to all the wonderful commercials and visit Barbara's website. So, last week we had Barbara Silrey on the show talking about her book, The Haunting of Cape Cod and the Islands. So, everyone, please visit her website at www.barbarasilrey.com. It's spelled BarbaraSillery.com, and look for her book, Haunting of Cape Cod and the Islands. It was wonderful speaking to her, and I'll be visiting Cape Cod soon and hopefully meeting her in person. And with that, everyone, you are listening to The Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network with your hosts, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Barbara Duncan, and myself, Kat Kloko. Tonight, we're joined by psychic medium, animal communicator, and paranormal author, June Lundgren. There are going to be more stories to come after the break.
It's always time for the dead to shine in Hollywood. The legendary Dearly Departed Tours has stepped up their ghostly game by offering the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour. Dearly Departed has long been an orb of hope in the paranormal world, having been featured on television's Haunted History and Haunted Collective. Their terrible tales have been made infamous in Marla Brooks' The Ghosts of Hollywood books. The new Ghosts and Legends Tour is a 10-block, 70-minute dusk time stroll down the boulevard of broken dreams. You'll be guided through the golden age of Hollywood and see where the unearthly Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, and the calamitous Black Dahlia are still said to linger. You'll see Hollywood's gothic hotels, legendary theaters, and restaurants, never forgetting their permanent occupants. No stranger to investigations, Dearly Departed Tours has first-hand knowledge of some of these hauntings. For details of the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour, find Dearly Departed Tours on Facebook, dearlydepartedtours.com, or call 1-855-600-DEAD.
Hi, this is Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream Store in Gettysburg, the most haunted ice cream store in town. Stop in and see us next time you're around. We feature 16 flavors of homemade ice cream made right here in the store. Look forward to seeing you.
Marla's Sacred Cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para-X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going.
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
That's Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
You know, there's nothing like a great memory of a great time. And if you grew up during the 1950s, 60s, 70s, or 80s, boy, have we got the memories for you. There was no time more innocent than the 1950s or 60s, nor was there a time more politically explosive. Hi, this is Steve Shockley, a.k.a. The Shock. Join me live every Friday and Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern for a Baby Boomer Rock with a Shock sock hop on Rock with a Shock Radio.com.
So, you had a lucid dream about living in Atlantis, teaching telepathy, and you're wondering what it means. We can actually help. We are the School of Metaphysics, a 40-year-old international resource for people who have questions, big, juicy, deep questions about life and death and everything in between. 16 branches in the U.S., self-guided study online, weekend courses, webinars, and books. Send us a telepathic fax or visit our website, www.som.org. This could be the start of something really interesting.
Hi, this is Hollywood Haunt writer Marla Brooks, and you're listening to the Para-X Radio Network.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They all talk gobbledygooky, the Para-X family. The shows are paranormal, not stuffy but informal. The topics are abnormal, the Para-X family.
They're strange, deranged, unrestrained.
So grab your favorite brew, it's time to rendezvous, as we give awards to the Para-X family.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View here on Para-X Radio. We want to thank everybody for joining us this evening with our very special guest, medium and author June Lundgren. Welcome back, June.
Thank you. I'm really enjoying being here.
Good.
Yay.
Glad.
We're happy you're here.
Yeah.
With all of our goofy peanut gallery type talk. Henry?
Yeah, what was you going to say, Cece?
I was just going to bring us back to her wonderful book, Paranormal Encounters, which you can download on Amazon from Kindle.
Yep. I downloaded Paranormal Encounters. Encounters. I made up a new word. I'm Henry, everyone.
You can't blame me all the time.
Yeah, that one. Anyhow, Encounters 2, Book 2, off of Kindle today. I've been reading through that.
Well, excellent.
So we have a lot to talk about.
What we was talking about, like I'm lost, you know, or something like that. I felt like I was back Gettysburg again today because my wife was giving me directions.
Oh.
I was going everywhere where we wasn't supposed to be going again.
Oh, so you had Tabby Cat with you.
That's what I told her. Yeah.
In the blue PT Cruiser.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I'm trying to remember the cat. Alistair? What is the cat's name?
No, not that cat.
No. Cat Gash.
We
hung out with at Gettysburg, and she got us horribly, horribly lost when we were trying to meet up with Pat.
Yeah. But anyway.
Speaking of lost.
You had one.
I want to ask her about the process for crossing people over, because you also remove entities.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is a whole different process. Do you think that there is a I think it's called oppression, where can actually hold other ghosts in.
Yeah, demons do that, and they can have some negative earthbound ones. If they're advanced enough, they can do that. And it's usually the ones that were nasty in life, and they're nasty in death. And because they haven't ascended fully, they retain the same characteristics that they had when they were alive.
So they were former politicians. Oh, wait.
Yeah, there you go.
So there are just people who nasty stay that way, regardless.
If they don't, you know, a lot of them feel that, you know, hey, it wasn't my time to go. I'm pissed. I don't want to be dead. You know, I was a nasty guy in life, and I'm just going to make life nasty for anyone, and the living or the dead. And they can do it too.
Darn you ghosts, get off my lawn.
Yeah, that's it. Get out of my house.
I was watching a show on medieval dungeons and whatever, Vlad the Impaler, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people there was walking through the torture chambers. And I'm thinking, thought they were haunted. And I'm thinking, yeah, probably not so much by the people who were tortured, but by the torturers.
Yeah, probably a little bit of both, unfortunately. Yeah. When there's, it's like going back east. I went a couple of years ago. I went to Connecticut to visit a friend of mine, and she's like, "Let's go to the graveyard."
You're friends at graveyards.
I don't know, man. She's like, you know, she lives back there. She lives in a 100-year-old house too. It's been in her family for, you know, 100 years. And, you know, you have people that do bad things to people, like the torturers, you know, and then you have the poor people who are suffering, and they're reliving their death over and over and over again. I like to release people like that and send them to where they belong. If I go into a house and I do a walkthrough and there are good spirits in there and they wish to stay, then I usually ask the homeowners permission for them to stay, as long as they don't cause any problems. I had an incident where I was visiting a friend of mine in La Grande, Oregon, and it's in Eastern Oregon. And she says, my friend said, I have a friend who owns the oldest theater in town, and she's having some issues. And I'm like, okay, I'm only there for 2 days. Can we do it tomorrow? I'm like, okay. So I go to the theater and I step in there, and there's like, you know, three ghosts in there. There's a little boy that comes in visitation. There's a woman that died there, that died on the land in the 1600s. And her son keeps coming back in visitation, trying to get her to cross over. And she felt guilty because she was taking care of him, but she got, you know, the smallpox and she died. And he was still left alive, but he died a little ways after that. But she felt guilty. She felt like she had deserted her son and that God would, you know, punish her for deserting her son. And so I had to talk to her about that and finally got her to cross over. And then there was a negative there that was really quite nasty. And so I removed him. And then there was one, a gentleman that was in his 70s that had died. He worked there all his life and had died. And he didn't want to leave. And I said, well, what about your wife? I said, I know you have a wife. And he said, yeah, but she's been assigned to a different job on the other side. She comes and sees me when she can. He says, I love being here. I'd like to stay. And then he proceeds to tell me about a couple of the kids that work there that are not doing what they're supposed to do. And the woman says, oh, I know who he's talking about. And I'm like, yeah, well, he wants permission to stay. He'll keep track of the kids for you and let you know if they're doing things they're not supposed to, and he's just happy here. And so she gave him permission to stay, and he's still there. I don't take them out unless there is a problem.
Do you find that most of the people that are staying just really do feel that they have unfinished business, or is it more that they're afraid of any sort of retaliation on the other side due to belief systems?
I think, you know, I've run across a few that have, you know, they're still stuck in their, you know, physical world belief systems and are afraid to cross. And there are others that don't want to leave their loved one behind, or whatever it was that they didn't accomplish here in this world, or they felt like they, you know, weren't ready to really go. But for the most part, 90% of them are ready, you know, are ready to go. Every now and then you'll get an odd one, like when I happened to be up there also in La Grande, another woman, you know, they said, my friend says, you know, I also have this other woman that has an issue. And I'm like, okay. So I got into the carport of this house, and she took me over, and I'm like, you know, you've got a spirit here, male. So when we went inside, I went directly into the living room, and there was a recliner there, and there's an old man sitting there. His problem was he died, and so suddenly that he didn't know that he was dead. He kind of went into kind of like a shock, a spiritual shock, where he didn't see his body leave. He didn't see his body being taken away. He said, last thing I remember, he said, was I had a chest pain, and then everything went black. I told him, I said, what you did was you went into kind of a shock, just like you do in the physical world. And then he wakes up, and his son and his daughter-in-law are there discussing the sale of his house, and he's trying to talk to him and everything, and that's when he realized finally that he was dead. And, you know, I helped him to move on. But if they don't know they're dead, they'll just continue to do the same thing they did. They went through, I guess, renter after renter because he didn't like the people that were in there. And finally, the women that had rented it, he really liked them because they kept the house up and took care of his place. But then he was ready to cross, so I crossed him over.
Now, a question came in from the chat room related to this, which is, are there not people on the other side whose jobs it is to help people cross over? Why is it that the living do this? Is it because the dead can't see other dead?
It depends. A lot of times the dead will see the other dead, but sometimes they'll get trapped in their own time period and they don't see each other, like somebody from the 17th century doesn't see somebody from the 18th century or somebody from the 19th century, because they're all stuck in their own little world, so to speak. But then there are the other ones that are aware of, okay, I'm dead, but this is still my house, and I'm not giving it up, and I don't like what you're doing to my house. But there are people on the other side. Now, people talk about, like, the angel of death coming for you. Michael says, there's no angel of death. He says, your relatives come for you. Your loved ones come for you. But he says, we do have people on the other side that will guide them once they make the ascension. But the problem is, if they're still stuck earthbound, then there's nobody to guide them. There's nobody to help them.
I get it. So that there is like an interim level somewhere not physical,
right,
that we can see. Okay.
Right. Yeah, they're kind of caught between our world and the next world, and you know, there's like seven veils that between the worlds, and they're getting thinner and thinner, and you know, more and more is happening. But 3 years ago, God told me, he says, there's going to be, this is the beginning of a time of great movement. He said that the light is spreading throughout the world and the darkness is trying to push back. There will be times when there will be an increase in paranormal activity, mental illness, violence, you know, natural disasters. You know, he said that this will come in waves, peaks and valleys. And just after he told me that was when they had the school shooting in Connecticut. That was when it began.
In Newtown.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, we have actually a question from the chat room asking about children ghosts and why they may still be around.
Yeah, it's very sad when a child ghost, you know, a child doesn't ascend completely. And sometimes it can be because, you know, they've gotten lost, separated from their parent, or they feel that, you know, that they need to stay by something familiar. My mom's going to come if I stay here. You know, they'll come for me if I stay here. And I really hate to see that happen. So I usually talk to them, and I'll bring one of their loved ones from the other side to greet them, to help them cross over. Mm-hmm. I like to do that. It makes it much easier for them, the transition.
Now, we was we did a house in Franklin, Ohio, up here, which had a little girl spirit in it. But there was also a darker entity spirit, and the little girl didn't like that spirit. She would hide from him. Mm-hmm. Did you think that that spirit would be kind of keeping the girl there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they like to do that. The more that they can collect, the better, the more powerful they become.
See, we didn't have someone there that, I guess, to cross them over. Otherwise, they probably could have helped the little girl.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we was only able to do that house one time, mm-hmm. and the people that was there when we did it are no longer there, so we can't get back into that house to do anything. But so that was pretty interesting, though, that it did have a little spirit, and it had the darker entity, which would hold them back like that.
Yeah, they have because the more souls that they can collect, the stronger they become. They actually feed off of the other souls too. Can get to the point where the other soul is so weakened that, you know, it almost ceases to exist.
Wow. Now, like, when you go to the graveyard and you're able to see the dead bodies, myself, I don't see anything. I don't feel anything. However, Kat does. And when we was at Gettysburg, we'd be walking battlefields, and she was just saying, oh, they're just laying everywhere. And I says, where? I don't see anything.
Yes, Henry. As you walked over their corpses, you're sitting there like, I don't see anything. And Kat, Gash, and I are like turning green because we can see it. And we're like, oh, be very lucky you can't, sir, because it's really gross.
And quit stepping on them.
Yes, like stepping on them. Yeah, I almost yelled at a Boy Scout troop who were climbing through the natural tunnels at Devil's Den, and I could see them walking on top of these corpses of Union soldiers, and I was just like, ha, 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 oh, I hope you guys can't see this, because it's really gross. Plus, there may be snakes in there, but yeah. That's me, afraid of wildlife. It's like, snake, raccoon. Oh, yeah, there's totally an elemental standing right over there. But, raccoon. Yeah.
How are you scared of raccoons?
Because they carry rabies. And
Well, if you kick them, I mean,
they have rabies and they're foaming at the mouth, some don't.
If they're foaming, then you leave them alone.
But they charge at you because they're crazy.
Anyway,
Nyla in the chat room asks, and this is not a quite seamless segue, but she wonders if you've actually ever seen a spirit leaving the body of a dying person.
Yes. I am a nurse. I have been a nurse for 39 years, and that's why I do not work hospital work anymore. I got tired of that. I've actually seen my dogs when they die, their souls leave. Yeah, that's why I don't do hospital work anymore.
When that happened, do they say anything to you as they're leaving, or after they've left the body, do they come and say anything to you?
When they leave the body, they'll, you know, come to me and they'll say, a lot of them will just ascend. Every now and then you'll get one that says, what do I do? Where do I go? And then you have to help them cross. But for the most part, their loved ones are there before the soul even leaves the body, waiting for them.
Well, that's because the souls already are aware that that's his time.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Certain things are set in stone. The time we come in, the time we leave, the method in which we leave, and what we want to accomplish in this lifetime.
Now, you had one story in here, which looks like it should be a real good one, where you said, I am not what I appear to be.
Oh, yeah. That was the one about my husband seeing the shadow person, because they can make you see them as they wish you to see them. Saw them hit as a little girl, and I was upstairs, and he called me down, and my son's like, what is that? And my husband's like, I don't know what that is. And I told him, I said, that's not what it appears to be, because at first it made me see it as a child also. And then, but the way I was feeling inside, because when I run into a negative, I feel cold on the inside, which has got nothing to do with the external temperature. And I said, that's not what it appears to be. And that's when it morphed into the shadow person and shot through the French doors.
Well, now, are all shadow people negative or bad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all negative. They, unlike demons, they don't travel in packs. They prefer solitary. They like to be in it by themselves. And they like to suck the life out of you, give you bad dreams. Anywhere where there's, say there's a family and there's a lot of fighting going on, there's a lot of depression, substance abuse, any those type of things draw these creatures in. They just like love it because it's like, you know, a kid in a candy store. They can foster more arguments, more pain, more suffering, more substance abuse, and they feed off of that. And while you're sleeping, they'll give you bad nightmares. They'll suck the life out of you, and they prolong it. They don't do it all at once. You always wake up feeling exhausted, like you never even went to sleep, and you start having health issues. These are what shadow people love to do.
I do want to remind everybody, because Kat just said we do have a question. But I want to remind everybody in the chat room, if you do have questions, private chat them to either Ceiling Cat, Cat Cloco, Jeffrey Gould, or myself, and we will get those questions right over to June. So go ahead.
Before that question, relating to the shadow people, though, there is a phenomenon with the shadow people with the broad-rimmed hats and the red glowing eyes. Is that their own specific type of shadow person?
Thing is, they can reach into your mind. And, you know, everybody's got their own opinion on what a devil would look like, what a shadow person would look like, and especially if they've heard things from other people. So it will appear as your preconceived idea of what it should look like.
Okay.
Sometimes they have the hat, sometimes they have red eyes, sometimes they have yellow eyes. Sometimes they're humanoid, sometimes they're just a mass, a fog, a mist.
Okay,
so we actually have a question sent to us via email. Yay! And it is Aussie Jeff, who many of us would recognize from the chat room. And he says, hi, The Paranormal View. Very interesting show today. Does your guest believe that people she crosses over will retain a memory of her helping them? Does she think it likely they will seek her out and thank her when she finally gets there herself? Regards, Jeff from Melbourne, Australia.
Actually, yes. And it's a little bit different for me in the way that I was in a motorcycle accident back in 1988, and I died for tense.
Wow.
I was totally dead. And this was the second time as a baby and came back. But in this one, I died, went to the other side. My grandma and grandpa were there to greet me. And there was another entity named Michael, and it wasn't the Archangel. And my grandmother and grandfather said, you know, you can't stay here. You have to go back. Says, you're going to have a son in 2 years. And I'm like, okay. And this Michael Angel took me over to this big bay window. It's, you know, everything is made out of clouds, and that's my perception. And he said to look down, and I saw everyone that was living in the world. And everyone had this tiny little thread coming from the top of their head up to where we were. Some were lit up and some were not. And he said, everyone that has a string that's lit up, that these are people that are aware of the soul connection. The other people have yet to make the soul connection. And I'm like, that's cool. And I said, well, does hell exist? And he waved his arm and the like floor opened up, and there was this horrible screams and this dark pit, and things were trying to reach up. And then he waved his arm again, and it sealed. And I said, I guess so. That means yes. And he says, you need to relive your lives, all the lives you've lived while you're here, to show what your mission is in this lifetime. And I'm like, okay. So it probably only took us, you know, a tenth of a second. But to me, it seemed like forever. I relived all my lives back to my core soul. And he says, this is who you are. This is your soul. And I'm like, okay, but who am I? And he says, you're Ariel, the archangel, the guardian of the throne of God. He says, this is who your soul belongs to. He said, you were sent back and will return each time because you had forgotten how to have compassion, how to care, how to love. That all you cared about was getting rid of demons and fighting demons. That was your whole world. So God told you needed to come back time and again until you learn how to have compassion and how to care. So I've been coming back ever since then. So whenever I encounter a ghost or a demon for that matter, they know who my soul belongs to. And when I was younger, before I knew who it belonged to, I was always puzzled because whenever I would be around or whenever I would encounter a demon or a negative, it would like run the other way and I could never figure it out until then. And I've learned over the years to gradually accept that. And I actually bring, it's almost like channeling. I actually bring her forward when I do a demon removal. Once I bring her forward, then they know. And it's quite easy for me to do the removal. So every spirit that I encounter in this lifetime knows who my soul belongs to. And they will know on the other side when I cross back over.
Sort of like, oh, it's her again.
Yep. So it's just, there comes trouble. So they really do remember me. I have ones that come in visitation, you know, just to say hi.
You had one in here also called the Pushy Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cats had one of those.
My husband and I got married, and we moved out. We bought the farm out here in Oregon City, and we moved out here. And, you know, I'm, like, not the most graceful person in the world. So I always thought, yeah, you know, I'm slipping. It's rain. It's mud. You know, I'd go down to the barn to feed the cows and stuff, and I'd fall and slip, and I'm like, first I'm trying to blame it on my slippers, and because I really didn't feel anything. It was cloaked from me, and I really didn't feel anything. And so, you know, this happened, and then finally, I'm like, that felt like a shove. You know, this happened like 3 or 4, 5 or 6 times. Finally, I'm like, that felt like a shove, and then I heard laughter. I tuned in and I heard laughter. It was a really kind of a nasty, earthbound ghost that was having fun pushing me down. Yeah, I mean, I landed on my knees. I mean, sprained my knee a couple times, and I was not happy. And then I remembered, this was like right after we moved in, and then I remembered that I hadn't sealed the land. I have not put my protection around the land. I have a special black salt that was created that God gave me the recipe for because I would be doing the negative removals. And so I had to walk around all 3 acres and lay down the salt. After that, I never had a problem.
Now, do you make a continuous line of salt, or you just...
No, you have to make a continuous line of salt. Does not have to be a thick one. You can just lay a thin line. You know, people probably thought I was crazy. Walk around all the pasture around the house and everything, and you have to overlap it from where you began to actually seal it. Yeah. And you have to ask for God's protection so that nothing negative in this world or the next be allowed to cross through this line of salt. And when I went down to remove the demon from the tunnels down there, they wanted to film it. My crew wanted to film it. And I said, listen, I'm going to put you inside this circle of salt. Do not step out. I cannot protect you. I have to focus on what I'm doing here. I said, there are 3 of them. I said, I need to take out the big one. You guys need to stay inside this line of salt. And it protected them. So it's good stuff.
Does this salt ever, you know, like it gets water on it, disappears, and it's not good anymore? Or
no, because it sinks into the land itself. You know, this is Oregon. It rains all the time. Some people feel better if they replenish it every year, but I've had mine down for 26 years and never had an issue.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
Let's see. I think what we'll do is before we go any further, we will take our last break. Do we have any other questions from the outside?
Nope, not at the moment.
Okay. Jeff's going to take us out, and Cece will bring us back. So go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah. You're listening to The Paranormal View on para-x.com with hosts Henry Foister, Kat Kloko, Ceiling Cat Barbara Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould, with tonight's guest author and psychic medium, June Lundgren. So stay tuned for more Paranormal View after the break.
Good news, everyone!
We're back, baby!
That's right, we're back! Hi, I'm Pat McCormick, and Ghost Soldiers Radio is back! We're teaming up with The Shock on Rock with The Shock Radio, and we are on a mission.
We're on a mission from God.
A mission to play great music and have fun.
God be praised.
Ghost Soldiers Radio starts May 16th at 10 p.m. on rockwiththeshock.com.
Hey, kid, would you like music?
Sure.
Good.
So if you like music, join us as we move on up. Saturday, May 16th at 10 p.m.
Well, we're moving on up.
So join us May 16th at 10 p.m. for Ghost Soldiers Radio, only on rockwiththeshock.com.
We finally got a piece of the pie.
Hi, I'm Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream in Gettysburg. You're listening to The Paranormal View on Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you need help putting together your event, looking for a celebrity, or just want to pump up the excitement, look no further than Ideal Event Management. Ideal Event Management is a top-rated paranormal events organizer. They also represent some of the biggest names and personalities in the paranormal community. Contact Mark at 413-478-3642 or check out their website at idealeventmanagement.com.
Ghost Hunters Case Log 451. The time? Thursday, 8 p.m. Okay, we're going to start an EVP session. Is there anyone out there? Can you repeat that? I really need you to try to project louder and slower so we can all hear.
The Black Cat Lounge.
That's right, gang. Listen in, the Black Cat Lounge, every Thursday night, 8 o'clock, on Para-X.
a darkness in the hallway. Voices that seem to come from nowhere. Alone at night, there is a feeling that something or someone is near. Where can you go? Who can you turn to? Para-X Radio and the all-new Para-X Vision can help. Our knowledgeable host and expert guest can help you find some answers and take a glimpse into the unknown. Para-X Radio and Para-X Vision, programming for the open mind.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the Paranormal View, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs, and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear...
Line.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Kat Kloko, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Para-X Radio presents Real Persons of Genius.
Real Persons of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. and Mrs. Para-X show host.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X show host.
Armed with nothing more than a laptop and a microphone, you hit the air to scare the bejesus out of your audience.
What the hell was that noise?
Like a dog peeing on a fire hydrant, you always whet our appetite for more.
I just can't get enough.
Whether it's witches, ghosts, fairies, or Bigfoot, we admire your ability to set aside reality and believe anything anyone tells you.
Seek professional help.
So the next time you're kneeling in front of your 8x10 glossy of Dave and Tom lighting a candle, remember, if it wasn't for you, I might be able to sleep without the lights on.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X Soho.
Para-X Radio Network, powered by CBS.
You don't have to be a plumber to investigate the paranormal. Everyone is welcome to the Para-X Radio Network. Tune in 7 days a week for great shows and special live events. 24 hours a day, Para-X is the place for paranormal talk. So whether you're a plumber or just another axe-throwing dragon, Para-X is your source for everything paranormal.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View here on Para-X Radio. We want to thank everybody for joining us this evening in the chat room and all around the world. And tonight we have listeners in the United States, Canada, Australia, the United Kingdom, Unknown, and France.
Yes!
Welcome, everybody.
Bigfoot is back in his UFO Bigfoot on the moon!
Because they're anxious to hear our very special guest, author, medium, June Lundgren. Welcome back, June.
Thank you for having me. I'm having such a great time.
Well, I hope so. We just like to have fun.
Of course.
Ghouls just want to have fun.
There you go.
You had one story here in your book called The Last Hurrah. Was that like one big party?
No, it was my husband's sister, adopted sister, died. And she was not a really nice person. And my husband received a phone call when he was at work from his brother-in-law and told him that, you know, his sister had just died. And so I'm at home with my son, and he calls me and says, you know, she just died. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And he's like, what do you mean you know? And I said, she came through the house, knocked down several pitchers, of you and I and, you know, Ray, our son, and told me that this is what she thought of us as she, you know, proceeded to knock down everything, and then she left. So she was not a nice person in life, and she was headed for limbo, which I was happy to hear.
They don't have Netflix there.
No, thank God for that. Because I asked about it one time. I said, well, you know, what do you do with somebody like that, that's, you know, not repentant, not willing to, you know, say they're sorry or whatever? And he says, Michael says, we put them in what you would refer to as a soundproof booth. He says they can see everything that's going on, but they can't hear. They can see everything and hear everything that's going on. He said, but they cannot do anything about it. They can't. Nobody can hear them. Nobody can see them. And that's the worst thing for some people that are control freaks, is they can see it all happening and they can't do a darn thing about it.
Hmm.
And then they have an archangel that's in charge of these booths, and they check on them periodically to see if they've, you know, learned their lesson or have, you know, are repentant for what they've done. So if they feel they are truly repentant, which they can't lie to them, then, you know, they take them out and they basically rehabilitate them. And, you know, then they're assigned to watch over somebody or some other kind of a job.
Now, from time to time when we do our show, we do get strange voices, different things happen.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the hosts.
Well, I was wondering, since you can see and sense people, if you've sensed any kind of spirits around trying to communicate with us on the show here.
There's always spirits around all the time, no matter what. And there is a male name of Thomas, and he's trying to make contact with Jeffrey.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thomas is his name. He looks like he comes from the 1920s. He's wearing the double
vest.
I don't know. You don't have to be. That's when he was alive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he comes from the 1920s. And he was killed in one of the hotels in North Hollywood.
Oh.
And he's wanting help. And I just told him that I would help him after the show, so he's good with that. Speaking of people on shows, I did a TV show, a local TV program called Paranormal Crossings. And in that, the first time I recorded it, the files disappeared. It's like, you know, there was nothing on Blu-ray, there was nothing on the studio files, nothing anywhere. But the person who they interviewed after me, their files were all intact. And the person that was doing this said, I kept waiting for it to be on television and waiting. And finally, you know, I got a hold of him and said, what is going on? And he says, you're going to be mad, but the files are like they never even existed. They're not even there. And I start laughing. He says, well, why are you laughing? I thought you'd be mad. I said, no. I said, I get rid of demons. I said, this sort of thing happens a lot. And so we made a date to do the show. And so at the show, I told them I would bring Michael with me. And whenever he's earthbound with me, he attracts souls that want to cross. So we're in the studio. And he said, you know, they said, well, where's Michael? I said, well, you know, he's on the ladder behind all the cameras. So they swung up there and they, of course, didn't see anything. I said, wait a minute, I'll just have him come and stand behind us. So he came, as he crossed over the top of us, the woman host said, "Oh my God," she says, "I just saw a huge wing, and the air that had been blowing on me all night stopped, was just interrupted, and then it continued again." And the host said, "Oh my God, I saw a huge wing." And then he said he felt that hand on his shoulder. And in the monitor, he saw the image of Michael. Huh. And that really freaked him out. And then a little while later, I felt the presence of a demon. And I'm like, thinking telepathically to Michael. It's like, you got that one? He's like, "Yeah, I got it." And you can hear the scream of the demon in the TV, in the taping of the show, as Michael grabbed it and he wrapped it up in his wing and cast it down. But you can actually hear it scream at time index 37.44.
Wow.
And they said that's never happened before. They've never caught anything like that. And then when they re-listened to it, they could hear other voices, you know, right before the demon.
What?
And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, that's what happens around me.
So,
yeah, but that's the thing. Whenever I watch those kind of shows, they always imply something might be happening, and then they never show it. So did they actually air the stuff?
They aired it, and you could hear, like I said, you could hear the demon scream loud.
Yeah, but how about Michael? The image of Michael showing up, did they show that clearly?
No, they didn't, because archangels are not allowed to show themselves
on camera
of any kind. I don't care whether it's still or motion, they're not allowed.
Ooh, so, because he's union, I guess. So.
He's prohibited from that. But, like I said, you could still hear the demon as he grabbed it.
Huh. Wow. Now, Kat, you said we have a question?
Yeah, we have a question from Patsy, and she actually shares a question that I had. And Patsy asked, "Does June do any psychic medium development training? Any advice on how to develop those abilities? Thank you."
Yeah, well, actually, in my book, Medium's Guide to the Paranormal, I have two guided meditations in the back of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have, in the first chapter, advice and of how I learned to increase my abilities. And the first thing I would say would be meditation. Learn how to meditate. If you're going to learn how to meditate, then you can make that connection with the other side and increase your abilities. It's practice, always practice. But in the book, it talks about, the first chapter, it talks about how to do it, how I did it. And I was on a different radio show last night. I did a show, and the guy that's the host on it is a psychic medium. And like me, he removes demonics. And he said, "You know, I read that, and I took some tools from that for myself." He said, "There was something in there that I could actually use." And that's why I tell people, you know, this is a book that's written in an easy-to-read way with something for everyone. If you know nothing about the paranormal, it'll teach you. If you know a lot about the paranormal, you'll probably learn some new things.
Like fill in little gaps and such.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Poochie Love in the chat room also has another question.
Poochie Love.
And that is, are angels allowed to speak to you? And are you allowed to know it's an angel speaking?
Yes, they are always allowed to speak to you. They do not always show themselves to you in the physical world. But in cases of extreme emergency, stress, that type of thing, they will show themselves to you. I see Michael all the time, but he's been with me since I was born. And I asked him about that, and he said it's because we have been together as avenging angels in our other lives. So that's why he's always with me. I never go anywhere without him.
Now, back to your book, Paranormal Encounters, you have a chapter in there called, I believe it's We're All Human.
Oh, yeah, we're... Ghosts are people, too.
Ghosts are people, too, yeah. Which it's interesting because you talk about the time lapse where this woman who was probably died in the 1800s thought it was just yesterday. What happens to that interim time?
She went in, again, she went into a form of shock, and she went basically went into a deep sleep, and something disturbed her and woke her up. And that's when she started looking for her son and her husband and getting upset. And she was drawn to me. I actually live right on the Oregon Trail. And
sorry about all that dysentery.
Yeah. And she was lost. And she's like, what happened? Where's my son? Help me find my son. You know, that sort of thing. And I told her, I said, you know, when did you die? When did you live? When did you die? That sort of thing. And she got upset with me. I told her, I said, listen, your son's long dead by now. No, you know, she got mad and upset. No, my son's alive. He can't possibly be dead. I need to see him. It just happened. I'm like, no. I said, you know, it's a couple hundred years passing you by. I said, everybody's dead and gone. I said, if you cross, you'll see your son. And she was so mad at me that, you know, I told her, look around, look and see. Does any of this look familiar? Do you know what a TV is? Look at all this stuff. I said, you can see there's been a change. That's when she got mad and walked right through me. It made me mad. I hate that because it makes you feel all tingly. And it actually ran through me enough where it put the rocker, you know, rocking. I'm like, ah. But she came back later when she realized, you know, what was going on, that the time had passed and stuff. And she was able to cross. But, you know, she got mad because she's like, you're lying to me. You know, my son is still alive. Why are you lying to me? You know, and like when people go into houses and provoke, you know, how would you feel if somebody came into your house and called you everything but a white person? And, you know, said you're worthless, you don't exist. I mean, you'd be mad, you know, and then you got all these paranormal groups that are trying to provoke people. It's like, I don't believe in provoking, because it's like they were people too. Quit maltreating them.
Yeah, I don't believe in provoking either.
No.
Talk to them like they're people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Unless they're a demon, that's a whole other situation.
Do you have somebody in the background talking?
Nope.
Oh, because I just heard a help me.
Oh. I thought I heard something.
Yeah, wasn't me.
Oh,
did
wow.
You, really?
I heard a voice, but I didn't hear what it said.
Yeah, I heard a help me.
Okay, we'll have to listen back on tape. You did have one of your stories, and I believe it was some spirits want help. So I'm sure that they do say help me. I have caught on recordings before help me two or three different times.
Yeah, they do come and ask for help. I try to create my home as a ghost-free house, but every now and then I'll get one that'll come in, like the one that just said help me. It's like, really? You'll wait till after I get through here. They do come, you know, because Michael is earthbound again with me. He's sitting here next to me, listening to everything going on. So you probably will hear more than one.
So actually, we have an interesting debate going on in the chat room right now. And we're trying to figure out if an angel could take human form and live among humans, what would that be? If they can do it.
If they can? Oh, they can show themselves in the physical world and be as solid as you and I.
Okay.
They
could
can
they live
do that,
among...
But those are extreme
Tell instances. People to get out of Gomorrah.
Yeah.
A lot of people...
It's also a Bim Benders movie.
I asked Michael about that one time, and he said it's just not normally done.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and then, it's, you know, with special permission, it's allowed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, like, it's like people with, there's only, I asked Michael the other day because somebody asked me how many archangels there are living in a physical body in the world right at this moment. And he said there were 8 of them, including me. So my soul may belong to Ariel, but my physical body is my own. And like I said, it's kind of like channeling. Whenever she comes forward, I mean, I've had people take pictures, and it's like totally not me when she comes forward. My whole face changes.
Yeah.
And they're just like freaked out. But they can't.
And again, I just heard somebody say, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't hear that. It sounded like Henry stroking his face or something.
Yeah, I heard somebody cough in the background. But I also just went, like that. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
Is how I speak, like, on a telephone to let people know I'm still listening.
Yeah. Got you.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Like I said, there's about 5 or 6 souls here right now. So I'm not surprised. They're all waiting for me to get off the chat.
Tell them to take a number.
They usually do.
So when they are on Earth, are they trying to guide people?
Yes.
Okay. For the greater good?
Yes, or they're there to relay a message, and sometimes they've been known to been sent to stop something horrendous from happening.
Okay.
A big event.
Mm-hmm. Like what's been predicted multiple times by different psychics and mediums. The huge cosmic event starting, was it 2012?
Oh, yeah. Michael says that's a load of hogwash.
Well, yeah, the Mayan calendar ending the world. They were like, hey, we just stopped here because it was convenient, but
that was our break time. 2012 was the beginning of the spread of the light. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the debate is still going on in the chat room. We got everyone talking about angels right now. Did we cover how people could discover who their guardian angels or spirit guides may be?
The best way to do that is to go into a meditative state. Mm-hmm. If you've never meditated, I would recommend a book called, believe it or not, Meditation for Dummies.
Okay.
There is a book, and it's very simple. There are different ways to put it in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the years, that is the best one I've ever found. I mean, years ago, that's how I learned how to meditate, was just simply by using this book. And once you can meditate, you create a sanctuary, a place where you're, you know, a very quiet, calming, peaceful place where you're full of joy. The picture with me, it's when I first started, it was a English garden with, you know, a folly there, and you would just sit by the water and just relax. Once you get used to doing that, then you can ask for your spirit guide or your guardian angel to join you, and they will come, and you'll get to see who it is, ask them their name, you know, and whenever you need help, you can just go into the meditative state and say, you know, I have this problem, help me with it, and they'll help you. You know, that's the thing. It's, they are willing to help you. You just have to ask.
I actually had, when I tended to always have trouble meditating, and but my first metaphysics teacher, Vinny, indicated one of the best things is when you're sitting there and you start getting a thought that starts, that essentially is going to distract you, focus on the thought and it'll go away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of counterintuitive, but it works.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, or just see it just floating by, acknowledge it, and that's it, and move on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what we do in yoga.
Yeah.
And you had another one kind of interesting in your book. It was a harbor haunting. Now, is that like a boat or an area or?
Okay, what that was about was as I told you before, my husband's like, if I can't touch it, feel it, or see it, it doesn't exist. Well, he always got, ever since he can remember, he always got, had the fear of drowning, absolute fear of drowning. But yet his mom says he never had an incident, even as a baby. So one day, about 10 years ago, he came to me in the morning and said, listen, I had this dream for the last 3 days in a row. He says, I'm on the Arizona, and I'm walking through water like you walk through air. And there's a bunch of us in the rec room down below decks. And the big topic of conversation is, how come they didn't come for us? How come, you know, because they entombed those men down there. And then he says, next thing I know, I'm up on the monument and I'm running down my finger to find my name. He says, when I come to it, I wake up. Every time it's the same. So I said, okay, I'll get you a list of the men that died on the Arizona. There's like 18 pages of these guys.
Right.
And he comes to this name and he brings me the paper and he says, this is it. This is who I was. And the guy's name, who he was Ray Arthur Roby. I named my son after my grandfather, Ray Arthur Homer. And I said, well, that's who you were. I said, then I said, there are no coincidences. He said, can you help them? Can you, you know, get them out of there? Because they're stuck down there. And I said, yes. I said, I can do that. So Michael and I managed to get all of them out of there but one. All of them moved on but one. And Michael promised me he would go back for him when he was ready. So that's what that was about. Hmm. And we went to Hawaii a couple of years ago for the first time. And my husband felt like it had been released once he got there and was on Honolulu and saw the memorial. He felt like it just lifted from him.
Well, you had another one. And we seen some program, one of them haunted things on TV.
And it was,
yeah,
really descriptive there, Henry.
Well, it was about, I don't remember which program it was, but this guy had he had bought a car and the car was haunted, which I thought,
Christine,
because add one in your book called The Haunted Car.
Yeah, yeah. That was, I was 18 years old. I had, was in the military. Mm-hmm. I was stationed up in Spokane, Washington, and they needed a car. And my godfather says, listen, you know, I just bought my wife a new car. You come down and I'll give you this one. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. So I get down there and it's a stick and I didn't know how to drive a stick. So he taught me in about 5 minutes and everything was fine. And I drove it back up to Spokane. And then I started getting these flashes. Whenever I would get in the car to drive it, there would be this flash of an oncoming vehicle, a head-on collision. Yeah. And every time I got in the thing, I would see a little bit more and a little bit more of the vision. It would just be like a flash. So I called my godmother and I said, listen, you know, do you know, has anybody ever been killed in this car or anything, you know? She's like, no. I said, have you ever felt anything weird in the car? And she's like, no, I never have. And I'm like, well, every time I get into it, this is what I see. And then I said, finally, one day I thought, okay, I'm going to sit here until I get everything, until I get all the information from what happened in this car. So I tried it several times, and all I would get would be up to the point where, you know, almost collision. And then finally, I got to the point where I got to see from start to finish. And it wasn't really, they didn't really die in the car. But they swerved at the last minute and avoided the, they must have been just inches away from the other car, but they avoided the collision. But the event was so traumatic that it stayed embedded in the car, this residual energy was showing itself over and over again. And once I realized that it wasn't an active haunting and that this was, you know, traumatic events that were embedded into the vehicle, I just cleared all the energy out of it, and it never happened again.
So when you do that, is there a spell or something you do to remove that kind of energy, or do you use salt?
Actually, all I have to do is lay my hands on the vehicle and pull the energy from it and then send the energy out into space through the crown of my head. It works really well, and I never had a problem since.
Let's see then.
We have the Queen Mary.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In your newer book, which is Paranormal Encounters Book 2, which came out this January, correct?
Yep.
Okay. January. And you talked about in one of the chapters about your visit to the Queen Mary and who you encountered there. And I found it really interesting with the ghost of, he was dressed up like a bellman, but wasn't a bellman for this trip.
Yeah, he wasn't. My husband and I were like, I told him, I said, I want to find the swimming pool for a class swimming pool. I want to go visit the vortex.
Jackie!
You know, and Jackie, yeah. And so we're in there, and the place is huge. And I'm like, you know, it's really, you're not supposed to go there unless you have, you know, you're on a tour.
Or so you're an investigator. I don't know how well they do it anymore, but I've been there with investigators, and yeah, they used to all the time do that. Now, not so much anymore. I think they changed management and got a little jerky about it.
Yeah, but we got lost, needless to say, because the place is huge. And we ended up on the hotel side of it. And I'm like, man.
It's all a hotel.
No, I mean, you know, we ended up where the rooms were and not down where the lobby and stuff was. And we were just like, we were taking stairs all over the place. And so I got lost. So I ended up in this hallway. And here comes this younger guy down the hall towards me. And I'm like, you know, oh, somebody's coming. And my husband's like, who? You know, because he couldn't see anybody. And I'm like, there's a guy here. I'm going to ask him. And and he's like, you can see me? I'm like, yeah, I can see you. And he looked really solid. So I'm like, oh, okay. My husband's like, who are you talking to? He says, don't tell me it's another spook again. I'm like, yes, it is. Don't call him that. So I'm talking to him. I told him, I said, you know, he had dressed like a bellboy, you know, whatever, you know, from one that would bring you your food and stuff like that. Room service. There you go.
Yeah.
And, but from a different era. And I told him, I said, I'm lost. I said, I'm trying to find, you know, the first class pool. And he said, can you help me out here? He says, yeah. He says, if you help me out. I'm like, okay. He says, I want to go home. I want to cross to the other side. I'm like, and why me? I'm sure there have been other people here that you could ask. And he said, because I knew that I would know the right person when they came. And I'm like, go ready then. So he's like, my husband's like, I can hear my husband say, ask him how to get to the pool. Tell him we're lost. I'm like, I know, dear. I'm trying to get directions. He's like, I was like, okay. I told him, I said, he told me, okay, just go down here and go this and go there and then you'll find it. I'm like, okay. So I helped him to cross over and then we finally made our way down to the pool and the first class pool. And it was kind of cool, kind of creepy, but cool. So went into where the the vortex thing was. And my husband's like, I'm not going in there. I'm like, fine, just stay where you are. And so I went in there, and you could really feel it. It had a great draw to it.
Now, was that in the little dressing rooms, little cubicles? Okay.
Yep. And then there was, you know, the little girl, and then her aunt came in visitation while I was there. And then there was another woman, and she wanted to, I said, why don't you want to cross? Why would you want to stay here? She said, like, I like to swim. I'm happy. Don't you want to see your mom and dad? Like, they come and visit me when they can. I'm like, yeah. Anyway, long story short, she wouldn't leave. So I'm like, okay. And before that, I ran into some people in one of the ballrooms, young couple. They were young then, but when they died, they were, you know, old, in their 70s and 80s. But I heard the music going. I'm like, what? And then I see these people dressed like something from the era of Mae West. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, dancing in the ballroom and having a good time. And I told them, can I help you? Do you need to cross? And they're like, no. We spent our happiest times here on the ship. Every year we would come back for our wedding anniversary. And we told each other that when we crossed, that this is where we wanted to go. And we'll continue to dance to the music and be happy. I'm like, okay, cool. Said, look me up when you're ready to cross and we'll do it. They're like, we will, but for now we're having a good time. I'm like, great, awesome.
Now, if you have a story from the ship, I just forgot what it's called.
Queen Mary.
The Queen Mary.
Thank you.
Queen Mary.
I'm like, the Queen Anne's Revenge? Wait, no, that's not right.
SS Hornet. Oh, wait, no.
Oops. Yeah, you have your
Why
own
is everybody trying to be like me? Am I that popular?
You're contagious,
You're very
Henry.
Popular. We love you.
Anyway, you have your own ghost story, don't you, Jeff?
I do. I was down in the pool myself with numerous investigators. I've been there numerous times. You didn't come across a male at all?
He wasn't there.
Okay, because he tends to be very growly, and Bob Davis, is a friend of mine, refers to him as grumpy. But I had my digital recorder out, and of course I didn't hear it at the time. I went through like 4 or 5 hours of audio footage, just listening, and all of a sudden I was like, wait, what did I just hear? And I have it on, I made a YouTube video of it, of just the audio with the titles of what's being said. And one of the female investigators is talking to Jackie, the little girl, and saying Jackie can see the lights on, meaning her K2 meter or digital recorder, whichever is holding, can see the lights. And you could hear on her voice the echoes of the acoustics of the walls and the floor, tile and everything. And all of a sudden, there's a voice that has absolutely no reverb, simply say, on this side. And then you hear the investigator again asking again, and there's that reverb. So I was like, oh my God, I actually got an EVP. That's so awesome. Hmm. While I was in the cat, I stayed, it was a paranormal conference the late Don Shai had. And I stayed over Saturday and Sunday night, and I had a cabin mate Sunday night, and we woke up on Sunday morning, and all of a sudden, a dog that wasn't visible to the eyes barked in my face, just one big bark, like a Labrador. And I you know, swung my legs off the bed, and the other guy heard it, and we were like, oh, that's just so awesome. You know, none of us thought to like turn on our recorders or anything. But while we were discussing it, I was standing next to the door of the cabin, and all of a sudden there was a crash at the door on the other side, as though someone in the hallway had fallen or was pushed and was hitting the bottom half of the door going down to the deck. And I yanked open the door immediately, and it was just an empty hallway. We're like, oh, that is so nice and awesome.
And no digital recorder, darn it.
Nope, nothing, just, you know, anecdotal evidence there.
Wow, did anybody just hear something?
Just cars going by.
No, it wasn't a car.
I heard like a hacking, and then it sounded like something fell onto a table. And
yeah, sounds yeah. And rubbing or scraping. Yep.
Yeah, got a rowdy group over here.
They're wanting to be heard.
Yeah, they're making their presence known, and I didn't even ask for it either. So I was like, yeah, okay, fine.
I got... Kat, you said you was reading her other book. Is there some other stories in there you wanted to have her talk on?
I got about halfway through.
Well...
But we'd have to have her back for another day because we have 8 minutes left of the show.
Right, that's true.
So I think the only thing that I think we could talk about with this short amount of time is the idea of different colors meaning different things in the with ghosts and spirits.
Yeah, some people talk about orbs. You know, a lot of people, that's very controversial, thinking that orbs are like just, nothing, you know, they're just dust or whatever. But, you know, they are actual, the low energy manifestations of souls on the other side. And my son, since he was little, has seen blue orbs. But when he grew up there, he was seeing thousands of them and stuff like that. And what they are actually angels. I told them, I said, just have them morph into angels and then they won't scare you anymore. So that's what he did. And the blue angels turned, the blue orbs turned into angels. And he still sees them to this day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It can get a little annoying when you're trying to drive and all you see are little blue wisps going in front of your eyes. And you're like, please, please move so I can see the road, guys.
Yep, yeah. That's about it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep. And then dark or red entities are associated with being demonic.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's the first ghost. Oh, go ahead.
I haven't found that to be especially true because you can have a dark one that's just an earthbound that's nasty in life and nasty in death.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you ever encountered what looks like a firework inside a building?
Yeah. Back to Shanghai tunnels.
Oh, yeah.
Had a lot of them there, a lot of rods and stuff.
Yeah. What do you think that was?
Again, that's just low-level manifestation.
Oh, okay.
Of those on the other side.
Yeah, because I'd seen it once before, but I didn't find a whole lot of information on this firework effect that would be happening in a room. And I'm like,
say an almost fire or something? Or a ball of lightning or what?
It looks just like the golden firework that you'll see being shot up into the sky. It just, there'll be a large ball and then it just trails off into smaller pieces and then you see it happen again.
Yep. They come in all different colors. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one was a white gold. The first ghost I ever saw was blue, blue.
That's
pretty. Yeah. All the fun colors. Gotta collect them all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, our time has just kind of slipped right on past. I think what we'll do is we want you to stay on till after we're off, and we'll talk with you for a couple of minutes.
All right.
We want you to go ahead and give out all your information where people can get your books, how they can get in contact with you or follow you if you're on Facebook and all the other good stuff.
Okay, I am on Facebook. It's June Lundgren, LUNDGREN. My website is Mystic, MYSTIC, Connections, all one word, CONNECTIONS.ORG, mysticconnections.org. You can find my books in print or as ebooks on Amazon, Smashwords, Kobo, Kindle, any and all of the above. I have the three books, A Medium's Guide to the Paranormal, Paranormal Encounters, and Paranormal Encounters Book 2, as well as a children's book called Petals, Golden Wings. And you can contact me through my website, or you can send me an email at JUNE91CLikeCat@hotmail.com.
So the same as your Twitter?
Yep, that's my military MLS, yeah. I spent 2 in the Army and 3 in the Air Force.
Right. Oh. Jeffrey.
Yes, sir. You can go to my website, jeffgould.net, GEOFFGOULD.net, and you add /2011PNV.htm. That's my Paranormal View hub page where you can see previous shows and links to this show's report page. You can get links to each of June's books, her Facebook, Twitter, and her website, mysticconnections.org. Our official website is The Paranormal View at Facebook. Just do a search for The Paranormal View, the community aspect, and there we are. Please like our page and set your settings for so you can get weirdness posts throughout the week. We're on Twitter. Kat will talk about that. She loves to talk about that because she admins it. And you can follow me at Twitter at RealBadger, R-E-A-L-B-A-D-G-E-R. Please follow me. I love new followers, and I play a lot of hashtag wars, and I'm really dark and twisted. There you go.
Okay, everyone. You can follow The Paranormal View on Twitter at Paraview Radio. And don't forget to email us, like I think Jeff just said. You can also follow my graphic novel series, Jinxed, at jinxedcomic.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter at jinxedcomic. And basically, if you Google search Jinxed Comic, all the information will pop up for you. And it's a high fantasy series. Yay. Well, please read it.
That was kind of quick there, wasn't it?
That's our job.
Yeah, you guys got it done a lot faster than what I thought.
We are practiced professionals, sir.
When you can talk, that is.
Yeah, when I don't accidentally say one boat instead of another boat name.
June, we got about a minute and a half before we start cutting off.
So why don't you give out all your info? Oh, no.
No. Did you have any questions for us?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay. Well, that was
so there.
Quick.
So, yeah.
Tell us about your next project, if you can.
Oh, yeah. My next book, which I'm just completing here, is called The Dark Side of the Paranormal. It talks about demons, shadow people, earthbound negatives, minions. What I do is I give out information. I've been doing the book with Ezekiel, the archangel. He has been sent to help me with it. And talks about weaknesses. Fears that, you know, you wouldn't think demons have fears and weaknesses, but they do. And it talks about how to protect yourself, how to tell a demon from an earthbound versus a shadow person. There's a lot of information on all of that sort of thing. And it's just, there's antidotes about things that happened with me. And it'll be a really good book.
Has he ever explained about the wheel and whether it was a UFO or alien stuff?
He doesn't like them.
Oh.
All right. Well, our time has come, and we're going to be jumping off. Want to thank everybody for...
Who's next week?
Next week, I don't have anybody yet, but we're working on that because Jeff is not going to be here.
Sorry.
And Kat and Cece and I will come up with something great, as always.
Yeah, I've got a film festival at which Karen Gillan may be appearing, so I want to be there.
This is Henry Foister.
Jeffrey Gould.
Barbara Duncan.
And Kat Kloko.
And we are going to see you again next week at the same time. So good night, everybody.